times. You're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. Continuing our conversation with my guests, colleague and friend, training administrator Chris Brady and Juliana Featherman. Again, Juliana's ingenious app, Making Authentic Friendship, is designed to open up a world of friendships to people. Now, let's talk about this, Juliana, not just people on the autism spectrum, but people with other special needs as well. In fact, during the break, importantly, you wanted to make sure that that was clear.
Right, I do, because I always talk about autism because that's what my brother has, and it's really like prevalent in my life. But I do want to make it clear to people that it is for any intellectual or physical disability. So we do list, I believe it's about 14 right now on the app. So upon signing up, it's going to ask you what your diagnosis is. And as I mentioned before, it is a drop down. So there's Down syndrome, autism, ADHD, cerebral palsy, spinal bifida, sight impairment, hearing impairment. And others. So there's a lot that we list. And I just, you know, I'm trying to like break into other spaces. We did a cerebral palsy conference recently. Just really any reason why someone might feel isolated, we want them to be able to find people like them. And if they don't see their diagnosis on the list, there also is an other where mm-hmm. you could type in your diagnosis. And we look at those stats, obviously, from the back end. And if we get something a lot, then we're going to add it.
Well, I think from what I can gather, the site or the app casts a broad net in terms of who could participate. But with that comes some challenges around how do they congregate and how do they self-select. And you know, these are very different populations in some ways, except with that unifying thread of a disability. But people on the spectrum might present differently, or some of the needs might be different. They, somebody with whose need is just physical, and someone's whose need might be completely different and not social in nature. And I'm going to ask at this point if you'd please describe like how the app itself helps people to self-select to the kind of person or persons they would like to gravitate.
Yeah, so right now, as I spoke about, this is the beta version, and it is a web app, which is very confusing to people, and I completely understand.
Let's take that apart, please.
Yeah. So I was going to develop just an iOS and Android app right off the bat, but then I realized that, obviously, with like pricing and stuff, it's really hard to make changes to those apps to change the code, which is all like in the back end. So I wanted to do an interactive web app, which is actually a website that has the capabilities of an app. The only difference is it's in a browser. And that had a few benefits to it. One being it could be used on any device, whereas obviously you have to develop for each different type of phone. And also it could be used on a laptop, tablet, iPad, mm-hmm. all things like that. So that was a really good thing. And also it's really a lot easier for me to make changes. And since this is my first pretty much launch at it, I really knew I wanted to make a lot of changes along the way, and I have. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think I made the right choice with that, because I'm making changes every day. I just call my developers and I'm like, okay, we want to change this, we want to change that. And it's really easy. They could just go in and change it, versus in an app, it's much harder. And then once we get to a point that we feel it's ready and perfect, you know, perfect, I use lightly, but ready enough, which I'm hoping in the next few months will be, we're preparing for that. We're going to develop it into the iOS and Android app.
So understandably, this is a work in process, progress, as technology is anyway. I mean, what you might have done or envisioned even 2 or 3 years ago is probably growing and changing as quickly as some of the technology that supports it is changing. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And that's something I mentioned to you earlier. I mean, going into this, I really was not expecting it to be this way. I'm very set in my ways, and I had a clear vision for what I wanted. And don't get me wrong, the main stuff has stayed the same from the beginning to now, but there are a lot of like smaller details and stuff that I was so set on. And then once came the actual web app, and which once came actual users, a lot of things had to change. And honestly, it ended up being for the best. Like the game aspect was never a thing in the beginning, until I realized that just words on a page might not mean something. And you know, there's all these things that go into it, like you want people to come back and use it every day. Mm-hmm. And those game aspects are gonna you know, do that.
So the game aspects keep it reinforcing, mm-hmm. would make people want to come back, but without any of that pernicious, addictive stuff that kind of informs a lot of gaming, right? So that's
right.
That's not part of the strategy. It's the idea to make a reinforcing experience that ultimately is also edifying for people who participate. You, in the break, I think you mentioned a little bit about chat prompts. Mm-hmm. Am I characterizing that right? That caught my attention. What is that?
Well, that's actually one of my favorite parts of the app. It always has been. So obviously when you're going to see people on the map, which I don't even think I answered your last question yet. So once you're done with the sign-up process, which is obviously intaking all of the information we need, which is including the diagnosis, the interest, the age, the gender, the avatar, once all that's out of the way, you're going to see everyone on the map right now.
Right.
So you can see everyone in the United States if you zoom out, and you can see everyone in the world if you really zoom out. And we do have users right now in 28 states and 5 continents, which is really awesome. But the point is, you can chat with people anywhere right now. So once you get to that map, you can just kind of click around. If you just put your mouse over the little dropper, the little box will pop up. It'll tell you the name, the gender, the interest, the diagnosis. And then at that point, you can decide who you want to chat with. And that's just because we are building the database. And right now, there might not be a lot of people right near you. So you can kind of see everyone right now and just click around. And it's kind of just getting people's feet wet with it a little bit. And it's been really cool for people, because people in New York can chat with people in Australia who might have the same diagnosis or the same interests. And I feel like that's a really unifying thing, because not only can they see that there's people out there like them, but there's people across the ocean and across the world that are like them, which I think even reinforces that more. So right now, like I said, they could pick on their own who they want to chat with. But in the future, when we actually do the app, the algorithm is built to match people based on their criteria. So based on their diagnosis, based on their age, based on their interests. And as I mentioned in the commercial also, one of my users actually brought up a really great point to me, is it's kind of hard right now because there's not really a way to filter. So this mom or dad wanted to know how they could find people like closer to the age of their child. That is why I called my developers and asked them to add that as a feature. So as we speak, that's something that's being added. So there'll be an area where you could search like by age or by whatever. And then it'll help you find people based on certain criteria right now, which might make it easier for people.
Now that you've gone international, I mean, that's amazing to me. Are there language barriers or issues that have to be addressed?
Yeah, and that's interesting, because I'm naive, as the whole learning process has a lot of naiveness, I don't know if that's a word, to it. But from the start, I've been really naive in a lot of things, and that's another thing I've been naive in. There is a language barrier. Luckily, English is pretty universal. Like, a lot of people do speak English, even in other countries. I do have some users in, like, France, and they speak English, because some of them have contacted me. But in some cases, I'm like, okay, can we do it in Spanish? Can we do it in whatever other language? And honestly, it's a lot harder than you would think. There's not just like a button you can press, which is what I thought. It has to be like completely recoded to be a new language. So I thought it was just a button. But that's not the case. So right now we are keeping it in just English. Obviously, if we continue to grow internationally and have a lot of users in Spain or certain areas, we might consider doing it also in another language.
Sure. I mean, you very, I think, humbly describe that as being somewhat naive, but I think you have a very far-reaching idea, very strong idea that shows really enormous promise, and it wouldn't be reasonable to anticipate, I think, every permutation of that idea. So given what you started with, and I guess what I'd like, a couple of things. I want to know, you mentioned what your original vision was for the idea and how it's evolving and continues to evolve, and that seems to be demonstrated in some of the bells and whistles that you've now apply to this. Has your feeling about this project changed as you see it? Because for me, anyway, as I listen to you, it has a kind of, as we build it, it will grow, and as we build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. So there's this initial idea, and then it's a seed idea, and look what's happened in not all that long. Well, you know, this is almost too much, so I'm going to have to ask you back. But let's go there for a moment anyway before the show's end. Has the idea grown, and what kind of challenges are you facing?
The idea definitely has grown and changed a lot. The biggest way I already spoke about, which is how I wanted it to be more like a game, and part of the game aspect also that I didn't mention is the more you use the app and the more friend matches you make, the more coins you earn, and then you could use your coins toward your avatar. And so that's part of the game aspect, and that's one of the biggest ways it's grown and changed. But you know, I've run into certain challenges, such as the safety thing was really hard to solve. But yeah, I think I think it's less the app has changed and more I have changed as a person.
Very nicely put. Yeah. And I think they're wrapped together, aren't they? I mean, you've been listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. Continuing my conversation with my colleague and friend, Chris Brady, and Juliana Featherman. Stay with us, join us again next week. We'll continue our conversation. We'll dive a little deeper into what it really means to make authentic friends. If you're a person with special needs online, and what kind of systems can be put in place, and also let's spend a little attention when we return around how to take that space and the next frontier to take the virtual world and move it seamlessly into the real world, facing head on the kind of challenges and risks that going live on planet Earth. See you next week.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.